join with us in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Share our joys and concerns, and I'm going to start out because I've got a joy. My daughter and granddaughter made it back from Philadelphia safely and had a fairly good visit with her doctor at Shrine Hospital in Philadelphia. Do continue to remember Little Red. I guess she was exhausted this morning from her trip, but continue to remember her because she is looking at some more surgery a little later on. Morgan also asked me if I would mention her sister, Peggy, has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she is very concerned, and she would like for you to remember her in your prayers as well. Do we have any other prayers and concerns? Joys. Yes. Okay, please remember all the children, the young people that will be at Wesley Woods the rest of the summer in their camps for safety, and that the Spirit of God will be there with them. Anyone else? Please remember our church. We are going through a transition time. I think we have a bright future. I really do. I think God's got his hand on our church, and it's going to take all of us working and praying together. So please remember that. Anyone else? Oh, yes. Alan is with us today, and Marianne is better, right? She's out of the hospital and back at Jamestown and is doing a little better. So thank you for your prayers for that. But do continue to remember her. Anyone else? Yes, Sharon.
I'm not sure if everyone knows that Patty Mann had hip replacement surgery.
No, I didn't.
Just for information.
Okay, Pat McNabb has had hip surgery, and is she home or is she in a? She isn't home, so please remember her. Some of us know what that's like to go through the rehab for hip surgery. Anyone else? All right, let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you. We thank you for all the blessings of our life. We thank you for loving us in times that we don't really deserve to be loved. We thank you for giving when we don't deserve to be given to. We thank you for being with us for every step of the way. We lift this church up to you, Lord. We just pray your blessings on it. We just pray that you will fill all of us in this church with your Holy Spirit and the desire to work for your kingdom. Lord, we lift the requests that have been made to you today. Morgan's sister, Peggy, the children that are at Wesley Woods this week and the rest of the summer, Pat McNabb, Aunt Mary Ann, and all of the others' unspoken requests that there may have been. We just lift those to you, Lord, and we just pray that your will be done in each of their lives. Give them strength, give them peace. Now, Lord, we just pray that you will bless the rest of our service. We once again invite you in to our hearts to help us truly understand what you want us to know today. In your son's name we pray. If you will join, yes.
This is rather unusual, but these are rather unusual times too. Usually when a pastor leaves on vacation, they have a transition just to come back. And it's a blessing to be able to have the new pastor here too.
Yes, yes.
Might I take a moment of pastoral privilege and have a time of prayer for David?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'll be back here again for a while.
Absolutely.
If any of you all would like to come down and pray with us, we invite you to come down too. I believe that God has some wonderful things in store for Rockwood United Methodist Church, and I believe that David is God's man for the hour, and we need to lift him up in our prayers. If you all want to come down, if you want to lay hands on him, that's fine. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in this very special time. We thank you for the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon the people that you've chosen to do your work. We just pray now that you be with David Taylor. We pray, Lord, that you fill him to overflowing with your Spirit. We pray that he might feel a special anointing on him as he comes to Rockwood and Chevron United Methodist Churches and the Amrock Church as well. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless him and use him for your honor and glory. We pray, Lord, that you be with this church. You know how special this church is. You know what a wonderful group of people here and the warm fellowship that's been experienced. We just pray now that you would lift them up, having come through the pandemic. We pray, Lord, that you would draw people back in. We pray, Lord, that David's leadership might be just what God's people need for this moment. Thank you, Lord. Bless him now. Fill them to overflowing. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
So back here a moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm not supposed to be here. But I woke up this morning and told my youngest daughter, Gracie, that I was coming to church. She said, you're supposed to be off today. And she gave me that look that whether I was with parents when they were doing something they weren't supposed to do. And I said, yeah, but I think God said I need to be down to Chevron and Rockwood today, so I can't. Not knowing that I've got David here to pray for me, which this is how we actually should do this. Not how the Methodist Church does it, but this is how we should do it. And I would just say to you, there's 102 pastors moved this week from some place to another place. One that's replacing me, God bless her, at 50. She gets to follow me, and that's just trouble altogether. But she's coming, and so she and I have been friends, and she's there, and she's moving, and all the things that happened there, she's inherited, which is good. So it's just a blessing to be here. David said he might not be back for a while. I know the protocol says he's not supposed to be here for 6 months after I arrive. I'd be lying to be done with these 6 minutes. I really have none of that issue, so I don't know if y'all know the things. So I'm just happy to be here. Y'all do know I've been to three churches, Pleasantville, over in Paint Rock, Chevron with y'all. The mission attendance figured I didn't have anything else to do. I had said it would be work, and so, and I know that crowd will work. Some young, my playlist has been in for 7 years, and so that is part of my life. But I just want to thank you for letting me be here. I do want to give a little warning to next week. My oldest daughter's going to play again. She'll be here to she's a choir director and youth director at her church. So she's asked for Sunday off to come here today. She's going to come to the week again. My middle daughter's coming from Florida to be us for her and the three grandchildren for her and for Lindy's daughter and other grandchild will all be here Sunday. And so they'll be in this building and there'll be no leaves because they don't only give them. And so all the family will be here. We have, I think, one husband, one from Florida has to keep working because Walmart made it work. But everybody else is going to be here. So that's a word of welcome and warning to you about the Tabor plan that's going to be here. And so we thank you for letting me be here for saying the word. I'm looking forward to being here. I'm a fifth rambunctious. First thing I ask, am I required to stay in the pulpit? And so the answer is I hope no, because I won't stay. And I have been known to walk the aisles and do stuff like that. So don't let the term method of school you think that I'm required. But I'm not. And so we'll have a good time. We'll praise God. So we can say life will be changed.
Amen.
And that I know that, because that's what God does.
Amen. I've been to church already. I don't know about y'all. Woo, mercy. Do what? I know, that's scary, isn't it? I think we're just going to skip to the offertory, Richard, okay? We have, in the last few months, have been taking our offering in the baskets. At the doors, where there's only one basket at this door, I have taken that one because I had thought that one time that we would go ahead and start taking the offering up, and I think that might be a good thing to start next Sunday, to take the offering up. But at this time, if you will please remember that the basket is at the door for your tithes and offerings. Our church needs your help. We can't grow God's kingdom without some help from the people of our church. So please remember that. And Dr. Tabor, would you pray over our offering for us, please? Thank you.
Let's pray together. In the grace and the honor that we have, O Lord, to give back to you, you allow us to give of ourselves. You don't ask for everything we have, though that's what Jesus gave to us. Everything that he was and is and is to come was given to us by Jesus. And because of him, we have eternal life. But you ask us to give back to you all that we are. And a small amount of the finances that we have, let us give back to you in a way that honors and glorifies you. And that we'll be out of your life. God calls us to give our entire being. So let us give our being to you also that we can worship you with our soul, with our heart, with our mind, and our body.
Amen.
So bless the gift. The giver has already been blessed because they have been given the monies to give, but bless them in their giving. And may your grace overwhelm us in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The doxology.
Lord's Prayer.
Oh, yes.
Did I forget the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, you did forget the Lord's Prayer. Okay. Please join with us in saying the Lord's Prayer, please. Stand. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
the doxology. I think I'm the one that actually... while we sing Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. Well, let's sing it anyway. That's right, you're right. We will. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. Messed up today. I apologize. At this time, we are very thrilled to introduce to you Brother Darrell Ruffner, who is going to be coming and speaking for us this morning.
Thank you, Miss Honeycutt. That was a wonderful job and all the preliminaries. You've done a great job. It's always, always good to see you. Y'all have a beautiful church here. I've driven by this church many times, a lot of times coming to basketball games at Rockwood High School. We would cut and come in this way, and I knew what church it was. Y'all seemed like a huge crowd. I was at Chevron, is that correct, this morning? And there were one, two, three in the audience. So this looks like a huge crowd. Listen, I'm so glad to be here today. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And anytime you have somebody coming in your pulpit to speak to you, I know at my church, I always wonder, is he going to preach a long time? I'm not kidding you. That's the first thing I think. The second thing I think about, is the guy going to be boring? I mean, you think about it, long and boring. Now, that is a bad combination. And I think about, is the invitation going to be long? Is he going to be one of those guys that says, one more verse of Just As I Am, and we're going to close. And so I think about all these things, and I've got apprehension. So anyway, let me put your mind at rest today. The thing I have never heard in my entire life, you may have, is this. The sermon was too short. So today, I'll be brief. I'll get the point. You guys can relax. I am not going to be long-winded. So anyway, that should put your mind at ease. Certainly today we're blessed to be here. A lot of times we don't think it's a blessing to be here, but really it's just think about this. So many other places you could be. But God has blessed you with health enough to be here today. And that, without a doubt, is a blessing. Today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 15. We're going to be verse number 13. And as you turn there today, I like to enjoy church. I don't know about y'all, I like to be around God's people. And when I come there, I think about this. The more you put in today, the more you're going to get out. If I put a lot in, then I'm going to get a lot out. So put something in today and enjoy church. But I always like to start out with some humor. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, let me share this joke with you. There was a dear lady in a local church. She was 80 years old. She went up to the pastor. She said, "Pastor, I'm getting ready to get married for the fourth time. I've outlived the other three husbands, and I would be honored and blessed and so excited if you would be willing to do the sermon." So the pastor said, "Well, sister, I'd be glad to do it. I'm sorry that you've outlived the other three husbands, but I'd be glad to do this ceremony." And they got to talking. The pastor said, "Well, tell me a little bit about your previous husbands." And she said, "Well, the first guy that I married, I was very young, right out of high school. He was a banker, and he knew how to make money. So we made all kinds of money. He could just, anything he touched turned to money. And we lived a pretty good lifestyle," she said, "but he died." She said, "The next guy I married, he was an entertainer." She said, "We were all over the country. We were performing acts for concerts. We were the opening act, everything, and then he died." She said, "The third guy I married was a pastor. We had a little solid life at that time. We were more in one place. And he pastored for about 15 years and he died. The fourth husband I'm getting ready to marry this time, he's the undertaker here in Tampa. And the pastor said, what a diverse group of men. She looked at the pastor, she said, look, pastor, this is the way it was. She said, one was for the money, two was for the show, three was to get ready, and four was to go. So anyway, always laugh and joy. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here today as proof of your goodness. It says to give thanks in all things. And Lord, today we give thanks in all things for allowing us to be in your house, to feel your spirit. We know it's another Lord's Day. We've got this day to honor and worship, set aside to worship you in spirit and truth. We pray, Lord, as we go over the sermon today, Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds will be open and receptive. And we pray that all I say and do will glorify the name of Christ. And Lord, we realize it's not about us, but it's about you. Anything we say today, you can use that. And Lord, I thank you for all things. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Now, in this book that I've got today, I've got weddings, I've got funerals, I've got sermons, and hopefully we'll stay with the one I've got. The title of today's message is Overflowing with Hope. And there's a lot of things that we do not hope or have any hope for. But I want you today to start being that lady, that man that overflows with hope. God wants us to overflow with hope in all things. Now, sometimes it's difficult to do so, especially in the world in which we live in, without a doubt. We see all the things that are going on, the high price of gas. We can all agree we would like it to be lower. We unify on that. Our country is so divided by so many things. And we know today about the war in Ukraine, all the things going on around our world. And you say, how can I be overflowing with hope? We're all overflowing with something. It's either good or bad. You know, I think of the people that go out and do the mass shootings, which has been a real issue in our country. How can you go in there and take innocent lives? How can you do that? And I think that person is overflowing with evil, without a doubt. Now today, I don't know what you're overflowing with. It could be bitterness. I mean, a lot of times, you know, so many things happen in a person's life. You could become overflowing with apathy, with resentment, with pride, with envy, with fear, with jealousy. But today, God wants you to overflow with hope. And to answer the question, why should I overflow with hope? Because the God that we serve, the true and living God, the creator and sustainer, is still on the throne. God is still in charge today. He's in charge today. He's on the throne. Nothing has changed. He's the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday, and forever. We serve a Savior today that died on Calvary's cross to atone for our sins. We serve a Savior that was buried, that arose. We serve a Savior that went back to heaven, and he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I shall return. We've got that hope. We know today that we can be saved by God's grace. It's sufficient through our faith. And it does not matter all the good works I do or don't do. It's all about what Christ did on Calvary. And we've got a hopeful tomorrow. You think about it. You think about eternity. We've got eternal salvation through Christ, our Lord and Savior. I know in life you all have situations that don't look good, that looks like the outcome is not going to be what we want. Things are not going to work out. It's not going to end well. We all have situations like that. We don't see any way that we'll ever be able to get well. We don't see any way we'll ever be able to get over our illness. We don't see any way that we're going to accomplish a dream that's been a dream of ours forever. We don't see how our family, which has been torn apart, will ever be restored. You know, we said, will COVID ever end? Will the pandemic ever end? Will we ever get back to normal? And will gas prices ever go down? But it's one thing to have hope. It's another thing to overflow with hope. And we are to overflow with hope. One of the things, I mean, think about this. Y'all realize football season is upon us. It's less than 100 days to the University of Tennessee kicks off. Football season, I'm a big Tennessee fan. And as we sit here today, how many of y'all are overflowing with hope that we will win on October the 15th? Very few. That's the third Saturday in October. That's the day the Crimson Tide roll in. I'm not a Tide fan, but, you know, to say that I'm overflowing with hope, I can't say that. But I tell you what, I am overflowing with hope with what I have in Christ. When you overflow with hope, you're not moved by circumstances. I mean, you think how we're moved by some circumstance. You know, you think about all the things that go on. We're moved by circumstances. Think about the war in Ukraine. It's affected your life. You have nothing to do with it. You did not make that decision, but yet it's affecting your life. You're not discouraged by what happens in the world around you. You're not discouraged because it hadn't happened yet. You're not discouraged because it didn't happen quick. You're not discouraged because you don't know if it ever will happen, because you know that God is in control. God is a difference maker. Sometimes our will and our plan is not the same as Holy God. But we know that God is on the throne. And we serve a God that's a God of miracles. You know, a lot of times we say there's no way that family will ever be restored. There's no way that person will ever change. But we serve a God that changes life. We serve a God that's a miracle worker. So don't stop believing. No. Keep thinking that God has a way. When people tell you there's no way, know that your God is bigger. Know that your God has a way. And what God started, He will finish. God has a plan for every life in here today. And that starts with your salvation experience. When we go through disappointments, a lot of times we become upset. We become bitter. We're discouraged. A lot of times we feel that God has forgot about us, that no one cares. I pray and pray and pray, yet God must not hear my prayers. But when you overflow with hope, a lot of times what was meant for harm can turn to your advantage. Think about, you may lose a job. Maybe a better one comes along. Always be thankful. We think of times when people become very ill. That is a bad thing for any family. And y'all know if you've had someone dear and near to you that's went down the road where they've had a dreaded disease, you know how that is. And you know how prayers become more intense and you wonder if God can intervene. Know that He can. But these opportunities that we're given sometimes are a chance to spread the gospel. A lot of times you talk to people that went down this road, they'll tell you, when I was in the hospital, when I was taking treatments, I met this person and I was able to witness to them. I was able to share the gospel with them and they got saved in the hospital. There's so many opportunities out there that God uses through times that are tough. In the Bible, it says this, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is a better day. There is a better tomorrow. If you're born again, the future is bright. A lot of times we have worry and doubt. We're discouraged. A lot of times we become apathetic. We become disconnected. We become indifferent. And we become bitter and depressed. Now, one of the things I like about being in church, and Miss Honeycutt and I were talking before, I have always been a hater of technology. You know, when I was teaching school, it never bothered me if the internet was down. I could go right on. But I think about, you know, in my church, since we went online, how many people, you know, missed the connection of not being there. I said, same way in my church, we've lost a lot of people. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoy being connected. I enjoy being here with you. I love the feel of the Holy Spirit, the feel of God's people together. But I miss that anytime that I'm not. So today, overflow with hope. There are a lot of wrong things to be overflowing with. But God desires us to be overflowing with hope, humility, love, and the heart of a faithful servant. Today, I hope that you start overflowing with hope. I hope you can see the great things that God has done, the great things that God will do. As we heard the new pastor tell us today? Did he not seem like he was overflowing with hope? It did. Did it not seem that he was overflowing hope for this church body and this church to grow, to see people saved? God can do that. Be overflowing with hope. Some problems we see as never ending. But we need to see today problems as only being temporary. God will do what he promises, and God is faithful in all things. When you overflow with hope, people are not going to change your mind. Circumstances will not cause you to quit. Your God is able. And when it seems there is no way, God is the way. Abraham was given a promise to him and Sarah that he would be a great nation, that he would have so many kids that they would number like the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. Abraham and Sarah had been married many years. God had asked him to go to this new land, and by faith he did. And they had never had a child. She had been barren their entire marriage. And people said, "Abraham, Sarah, you're too old to have a child." At that time, he was 80, Sarah was 70. And like I say, they had never had a child in their marriage. So Abraham was convinced that God was faithful. He was convinced that God was able to do what he promised. He knew God was faithful in all things. He knew he served a God that was on the throne. He knew he served a God that was a God of miracles. And against all hope, year after year, Abraham hoped on in faith. He overflowed with hope year after year. He had all kinds of opportunities to quit. People doubted him. God's promise did not happen all at once. It did not happen overnight. It did not happen immediately. It did not happen soon. But year after year went by, and there was no baby. And if you're overflowing with hope, you don't consider the circumstances. You consider the God that is on the throne, our creator and sustainer. Don't be focused on the size of your problem, because you'll become discouraged. But consider who your God is, the creator and sustainer of all mankind, a God that is faithful, a God that loves us. And so Abraham goes on and on. All human reason for hope was gone. But Abraham hoped on despite that. He had faith in his God. He believed in his God despite all the circumstances. We serve a supernatural God. When there's no reason for hope, remember that God gives us hope. We serve the true and living God, who we know with him all things are possible. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, finally she gave birth to a son, Isaac, after all this time. Paul, in his writings in the Bible, wants us to overflow with hope. He said this, "Not considering the circumstance, but consider the God you serve." David, in the book of Psalms, chapter 12, verse 5, says, "Surely God will bless the righteous." In 23:6, David said again, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." In Psalms 27, David was surrounded by all kinds of enemies. They were coming from every side. He was overflowing with trouble. But in verse 13, he said, "I'm confident in my God. I know, despite all of this, I will see the goodness of God." David didn't deny that negative things were all around him, but he knew the goodness of God Almighty. God being for us is more than the world against us. Moses sent 12 men, as you remember, to spy out the Holy Land, the Promised Land, the land that God had promised them. The spies returned, and their report was, "The land over there, it flows with milk and honey. It's plentiful. The soil is fertile. It's a beautiful place." But they said, despite all of that, there's too many people. They're too big. The cities are wild. It would be impossible for us to go in there and take this land. Now, God had promised them this land, but the circumstances in that land discouraged their hearts. And so 2 million people never entered the promised land because they got caught up in the circumstances around them. They did not see or feel the God they served would be able to get them into the promised land, so they never made it. Joshua and Caleb, two other spies, they were completely different. They went back and they reported to Moses how good the land was and everything, and they said this. They said, "We can go right now. We can take it. This land is ours, and surely we'll overcome." They had what? They overflowed with hope because they said, "We can do it. We can go in and take the land." They were certain that their God was bigger than their problem they faced. So Joshua and Caleb, out of all these people, were the only two that entered into the promised land. Now, when you overflow with hope, it will be a blessing. God will bless you. Today I hope that you'll become that person that overflows with hope. And I know a lot of times we say, there's no way that will ever work out. There's no way that can get done. Realize and overflow with hope. And I hope you realize today that despite all that goes on in our world, all the things that you're discouraged by, God is still on the throne. God still cares. God still loves. God's still saving people. God is still changing lives. I work at the courthouse as a bailiff, and I've been there the last 6 years. And you talk to prosecutors, people that are on the judicial side, and so many people that come to them and plead for mercy and tell them their story and how, you know, if you'll give me this break or that break, I'll do this. And they'll tell them about how in jail that they had a salvation experience. So they asked Christ to come into their life. And the guys that are in that judicial system, that whole big makeup, they hear this all day, every day. So they become apathetic about it, not really always believing. And then I talked to one day, and this is what he told me. He said, "I will tell you this." He said, "If they truly have found Christ as Lord and Savior, if they're truly saved," he said, "I don't see him again." He said, "They pay their fines. They report to probation when they're supposed to." So I see how God still does work. And even somebody that I don't know if is a believer, but they can see how Christ can make a difference in a person's life. I'm glad today that we serve a risen Savior. We have eternal hope. We have a better tomorrow. We know that we're forgiven of our sins. It's not by the works that we do, but it's by God's grace that we're saved through faith. And I hope today, if you're not one that knows Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope today is the day of salvation. Salvation, without a doubt, is a game changer. And I'm going to close with this story. I love to tell this story. It's about 9/11. And I can relate to this guy. There was a guy that lived in New Jersey. And 9/11 occurs. You know, the planes flying, the buildings. We've all seen the pictures. He had a family. They lived in New Jersey, like across the river. And there was about 5 or 6 kids. It was like a huge family with all these grandkids. And they all gathered together because they knew he was on like the 78th floor of one of the towers. And they got there and they knew, they seen all that, and they seen those people getting ready to jump out of buildings or burn up. And they were just devastated. So they began to pray. They began to pray. They began to call out to God. And they said, "God, if it be your will, let our dad be delivered. God, if it be your will, show him the right way." And, you know, they pray for about 10 minutes. They get a phone, call on the phone. And it's, of course, it's the early days of cell phone. Think about how long it's been. And it's breaking up, but it's a dad. He says, "Listen, I'm coming down the steps right now, and I'll be home in a little while." Then it would break up. They wouldn't hear from him forever. And they'd go back to pray, and they got on their knees, and they began to cry out to God once again. He called again. He said, "I'm on the 35th floor. I'm heading out. I'll be there in no time." This just goes back and forth. They think he's dead. Then he calls back. They think he's dead. Then he calls back. Finally, that evening, he shows up at the house. He says, "I'm fine." He said, "When I went down those steps," he said, "every time I had a choice to go with the crowd or go the other way, there was something that told me I need to go the other way. He said, I came down most of the way by myself. He said, every time I would run into somebody, I would say, maybe I need to go with them. But there was something inside me that told me, go the other way. And he did. And when I listen to that story, I don't know about y'all, if that fires me up, because I think about God being a God of miracles. How prayer makes a difference. And today, you know, I hope this church body, I hope y'all continue to grow. I hope that y'all continue to have hope that is full. I hope that you know that we have hope overflowing. And that's what God has given us. When nobody else has any hope for our country or anything, you need to be overflowing with hope, because you are promised a better tomorrow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we want to give thanks for allowing us to be in your house. God, you're such a great God. And Lord, today I thank you for allowing me to be in this church with God's people. We thank you for the spirit that we felt today. I thank you for the kindness and the good-hearted people that I've met today in these two churches. Lord, I pray that we would take your word and apply it to our hearts and realize what hope that we have. We have such a better hope for tomorrow than the lost and unsaved world. Lord, we pray for the requests that were made today. Lord, there's a lot of people that are hurting and aching. They're having health issues. Their family members are concerned about them. Their hearts are hurting too, Lord. And we ask for your healing power. Lord, bless this church. Bless this church body. Lord, we pray for our nation today and our leaders, Lord. You would give them direction and wisdom. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Ms. Honeycutt, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Now let's stand and sing Blessed Assurance.
Now we got it.